Hello, amazing people. This is Philly O'Wirangi, and you are listening to the Badasses Get Litty podcast. I'm Philly O'Wirangi, and I'm a worthiness coach who truly, truly believes that your life gets to be lived completely on your terms.
My name is Kai Ashley. I'm the spiritual guide and healer of the healers. And today we have the fabulous Philippa Wirangi. Philippa Wirangi. Is that right?
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and Philippa, from my understanding, you activate leaders and you help them live life on their own terms. Is that right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here with you.
Would you tell us a little bit about your story and how you became the leader that you are today?
Yeah, totally. So I'm super passionate about helping people step into the highest version of themselves. And I'm so passionate about that. Like, I can talk about it forever because I know that when I was not living in the highest version of myself was when everything was going wrong in my life, where I would be like, I only maybe in the past year or maybe a little bit less than that, like, really got it. Mm-hmm. As in everything that I have, like, lived is what I have created and what I have been available for. And I put up a post on Facebook yesterday about this as well, and that so a little bit of my story, I think it's part of it similar to a lot of women's story around relationships and leaving a marriage that just wasn't serving me at all. And I remember when I did that, when I left my marriage, like, a few years ago, like years and years ago now, I was journaling for about 4 hours that day around what I actually wanted in my life and how I wanted to live my life, how I wanted to be, what I wanted to create, how I wanted to feel every single day. And after that, like, 4 hour intense journaling session, I think I filled up like my entire journal with wow, everything in there. Is when I was like, fuck, I don't actually want to be in this marriage anymore. It's just, and it was like this complete separation of emotion. So we had kind of like separated and come back together so many times. And every time we'd have an argument, I'd be crying and emotional and be like, no, don't leave, all of this stuff. And at that moment, I was like, that's it. Like, I can't do this anymore. Because I had created such a fucking strong vision of what I wanted, and this vision of what I wanted in this 4-hour journaling session was me being that highest version of myself. So, and that exact same day I told him, I was like, we're done. I'm like, this is done. And I was really, really surprised with myself that there was no, like, emotion. I wasn't crying. It was just like a matter of fact. These are what the facts are. This is now what I'm going to do, and we're done. There's like nothing else that he could do to try and win me back or anything. I had already made up my mind with that. And it was like such a beautiful and also up and down journey from there of trying to figure out, because then all of a sudden I was a single mom of 3 kids. And I was running my business and I was doing everything myself. And so it was just a lot of trying to figure out how to create this reality as I go, like, as I kind of went along. So a lot of it was just me, okay, now what am I going to do each day and each moment to make this thing that I wanted to be a reality? And then there were some more what would I call them, experiences that happened from then until now as well. So one of my sons, he almost drowned, and then he was needing 24-hour care for the rest of the time that he was alive for, which was 2 years after that. So he was he had severe brain damage from not having enough oxygen go to his brain, obviously. So yeah, that was a really, really hard time, like hard in that moment when it happened. And then also hard in the times afterwards of the caring for him and not knowing what was going to happen each day with him as well.
Yeah.
So there was that as well. And I think what did get me kind of through it all was knowing that, well, having the belief, I suppose, having the belief that everything does happen for a reason. And also having the belief that, like, this earth plane isn't the be all and end all, and this earth isn't the best place that we could go to.
Yeah. You got
It was having that release as well, because he did pass away 2 years after that accident. So that was in December 2017 was when he did pass away. And so I think because I really had these beliefs and I've been working on them for quite a bit as well, it was, I wouldn't say easy, but it was easier for me to accept what had happened, knowing that this earth plane wasn't or isn't the be all and end all, and it's not the best place, you know, that there is. There is, like, the better place available, whatever that is. And knowing that he was going to go to the better place. or to the good place. I watched The Good Place on Netflix. that he was going to go to the good place. So I had that, like, I had that reassurance within myself, like, that's okay. Like, we'll keep living here on this earth for the rest of the time that, you know, we're meant to be here, and he'll just be already there, already, you know, doing whatever he's doing, playing and having fun and having, you know, the time of his afterlife, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of that going on as well, and I think that's been a big part of my story afterwards, because I had this, and I think everyone does that, like, kind of loses someone close to them. But I had this thing, like, I don't like anything that I put my mind to, anything that I decide that I'm going to create. If I want to do it, then I'm going to do it no matter what, you know, comes out of it. No matter if I, you know, fall on my face and look like a fool, if I fail, if I, you know, whatever, you know, if any bad things are going to happen from it, then I just have not had so much worry about it anymore. So I don't have so much worry about, like, failing, or so much worry about getting things wrong. Like, I'm totally okay now with getting things wrong, because I know that, like, our time here on this earth is numbered. And if we don't just go after what we want and get clearer, like, get actually clear on what is the life that I want to live, and what is the impact I want to make in the world, and how can I create that? Like, if you don't get clear on that, then you obviously won't know, and you're kind of running around like a headless chicken.
Yeah.
So now I'm just like, well, this is what I want to do, and this is what I want to create, and I'm going to do that no matter what the norm is, or no matter what other people say, or no matter, you know, no matter what, for anything. If I want it, then I'm just going to go for it, because why wouldn't I?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's such an incredible story, and it's going to help a lot of people who are already going through their own type of grief understand that they can actually find success. Doesn't feel like the right word here, like, as in, like, a, like that sense of peace, you know, which is a type of success.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thank you so much for sharing that, Philippa.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So actually, that is a good question, the one that I have in my head, which is, So I know some people watching this, they might, when they lose somebody, they might feel a little bit lost and unsure about what to do. But as you said, your faith in the afterlife really helped pull you through. How could people strengthen that? Like, what really helped you to strengthen that for yourself?
I'm not too sure. So I grew up in church. So my family itself didn't go to church. So my dad was a dope marijuana dealer for quite a long time, and he was in a gang and kind of had that life, and my mum was just kind of along for the ride with him. And then we had a family friend who would come and pick me up every Sunday and take me to church. And I think what was cool about that is that it was like my escape. So going to church on a Sunday with her was like my escape from home life. Because I always had this, I think as a child even, I always had this belief that that this life here wasn't the life that I was going to live. Mm-hmm. That I was going to live this amazing life, and I was going to do everything I wanted and be everything I wanted and really create life on my terms. And going to church every Sunday with our family friend, Hueco, my auntie now anyway, was a big, big part in that, because I could see, I think what I could see, so definitely the church stuff and learning about God, and that was awesome, but I could see that people were living life differently. And I think because I was taken out of, like, every week, taken out of, like, my home life into this church environment where people were kind and nice and loving, and we ate yummy food every time after church, and that was, like, a highlight for me for sure, is that I could see evidence of a different way of life.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm still going to be emotional this entire... so I could see the evidence of people living a different life, and because I could see that, I was like, huh, okay, so you can actually do something different, like you can actually be different. And I used to watch TV a lot as well. That was another escape for me, like watching TV and watching movies and seeing, you know, Full House was a big one for me when I was watching it as a kid. I was like, oh, that's really cool that this family is like this and they're living like this, and just seeing like different ways of living. So I think that's when I started questioning if there is, like, if outside of my current environment, there are different environments and there are different things out there. Then I started questioning as well if what I'm seeing now in this, like, environment here on Earth is, you know, what I'm living in, like, could there be something else? Could there be something else afterwards? So I think it was that, just that constant being curious and looking out and being like, okay, that person is like that and that person is like that. It's completely different. Like, we don't have to be the same. We don't have to have the same beliefs or feelings or how we live. So it was always just taking that step further, I think, of beyond like humans and Earth, and like, okay, what else is out there? What else is there? And I think because I've been so influenced by movies, watching movies where there's like aliens and and things outside of Earth, I'm like, I wonder if that's actually true. Like, that may be true. I don't know. Yeah. So I think it was just that constant questioning and just deciding, okay, I'm going to believe that when we, you know, are finished here on Earth, when our job is done, whatever the job is that we're meant to do here on Earth, and our time is over, that there is another place that we go to, and it is an awesome place, and maybe it's just like another level of living, or maybe, like, I have no idea, but maybe there's something else there. So I just decided, okay, that's what I'm going to believe, and, you know, and that's that.
Yeah. I love that. And I think it's such a good life lesson, what you say about how you got to see how everybody else is living sort of different lives, and that it's not just one way. because it can be so easy to get stuck into, you know, thinking that life is just one way, like life is hard, or men are this, or women are that, or, you know, people aren't like this, you know what I mean? Like all these stereotypes that people have, and being able to understand that you can actually just like shift and see that people are living life differently and you can choose to live like that too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to bring this back, okay, to that amazing journaling exercise that you did, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. Would you talk a little bit about how somebody could maybe like replicate the experience, but more like how would somebody go about journaling their greatest vision so they can make those decisions in their life?
Yeah, I think the first thing is to just allow yourself to do it, and also know that there's no right or wrong way. Whenever I talk about journaling to people, like people that haven't journaled before, and they're always like, well, like how do you do it? Do I write in a book, or do I write on my phone, or what? And they're kind of trying to find some like rules and guidelines to do it by. And the best journaling that you could ever do is just when you ask yourself questions and then you answer them truthfully to yourself. And it's okay just to kind of scribble along. So sometimes in my journaling, I'm just like scribbling random things and random words and just waiting for something to come through. Or those random things and random words are the things that come through. So it's, yeah, just giving yourself permission to flow with it. And definitely journaling prompts are like, you know, they're very, very helpful, especially if you are kind of like stuck in your head and you don't know how to actually start writing. So just asking yourself a question, so something like, what do I really want to say today? Or how am I feeling right now is a really good one, because you can just start writing like, I'm feeling okay, but feeling like this and feeling like that, and then you kind of keep going. So it's kind of like you're talking to a friend, but you're not having to think about everything that you're saying, and you can write, you know, you can write things and then change your mind on the next line if you want to, and you just keep going and going and going and going until you feel like you're complete, and until you feel like you're done for that session or for that day. So I think that's the biggest one for people is really just giving your permission to just pull out a pen and a paper or a book. So I like to physically write with a pen and a journal and an actual book. Some people do it on their computer or do it on their phone, but I like to put pen to paper. I feel like it's a lot more powerful when you do that. Because then if we do kind of like make a mistake, then, you know, you can't really backspace it and delete it and say, oh no, I don't want to say that anymore. You just let it be, and whatever comes out is perfect, and it's what needs to come out.
Yeah, absolutely. And how can people, either through journaling or some other way, how would you suggest people get started or really accelerate their efforts to like step into their higher self?
Yeah. So a good question to ask yourself is, if I were being my higher self, what would that look like?
Yeah.
And so something that I like to do quite often is step into my higher self as if it's an alter ego, and also writing about it as if you're writing about someone else. And the power in this is that it's so much easier for us to talk about someone else than it is to talk about ourselves. And sometimes if you're writing about your higher self in the form of I, we start to kind of get that thought in our head, our monkey mind is saying, no, you're not. You're not that great. You don't make that much money. You're not that confident. If we're like writing, I am confident. I receive $10,000 every single day. Like you're trying to write as your higher self. Sometimes we can, you know, fuck it up and tell ourselves, no, we're not that.
Yeah.
So if you're writing it, like giving your your higher self, or giving your alter ego its own persona, and so giving it its own name. So my name for my alter ego has always been Penelope, because I love the name. And I used to always tell people at school, if we would go away on trips to, you know, different towns and people didn't know me, I would tell, you know, those people that my name is Penelope, and I would pretend that I was, you know, not Philippa, and that I was not the shy little girl, and I would pretend I'm this, you know, fabulous Penelope that they should get to know.
Awesome.
So if you write it as if it's your, you know, it's your alter ego, and you're giving it the name. So something like, Penelope is so confident. Penelope makes $10,000 every single day in her business. Penelope lives life with ease and flow, right? And then just so that you can actually get everything out that you want to get out and that you want to start stepping into, and you'll find it'll be a lot easier to actually write out your higher self in that way. And then all you get to do next is go through the list and find the things that you can start implementing right now. So maybe you can't, you know, maybe making $10,000 a day is not something that is, you know, is in your reality for right now, but maybe so something for me used to be around wearing makeup, and in particular wearing red lipstick, because I always felt so shy. I was like, when I'm fabulous and I'm my higher self and I can do whatever I want, I'm gonna wear red lipstick. And yeah, so that for me, as in like my old Philippa self, was such a big thing.
Yeah.
Because lipstick for me meant that I was owning that I am here, that I'm taking up space and that people can see me. Having, you know, these red lips on my face to me meant, you know, I have a voice and I have something to say and you should listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so such a huge thing. And it was like, you know, it's lipstick. It's something you can just go out and buy from the shop for $5 or $20 or whatever. So that was something that I had on my list of what Penelope does. So that was the very first thing that I did, is I went and bought the red lipstick, and I wore it at home and looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, this is so fucking weird. Like, who is this person? Kind of like Superman, when he takes off his glasses, all of a sudden he's like a different person and no one recognizes him.
Yeah. You know what? You and I have this in common. Like, that was years ago, I purposely started wearing lipstick because I realized I hadn't been wearing lipstick for a long time, and that every time I wore lipstick, it always made me feel better about myself, and like, I just, you know, my lips felt better and all this other stuff. And so I started wearing lipstick, and I don't know if it was as conscious as that, but I definitely was like, wow, I'm gonna start wearing this, it makes me feel better now. So that's, yeah, like really handy. And the first one that I did was red lipstick.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but it's been good because it's been like this progression of stepping into Penelope, where Penelope now is just Philippa. Like, I don't have to now be my alter ego Penelope, because like, I've integrated her into like every part of my life. And definitely still times where I slip back and slip into like old Philippa for like moments, and then I'm like, okay, let's go back onto this end now, and let's just, you know, stay up here in the high vibe self. But what I know now is that I can see and I can be aware of when I'm not being my higher self, and sometimes I just play there because it's fun and I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna, you know,
mm-hmm,
be a rebel and play down on this, on the low vibe side for a little bit, and then I'll pull back into the higher stuff again. So yeah, it's a little fun game that sometimes I like to play with myself. But yeah, going through that alter ego exercise of picking a name, it can be, you know, any name, because it's just going to be for you, and writing out, if you were writing about that person, so if you were writing about your alter ego, what would you be saying about her? How would you be describing her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I love the idea of matching it up, you know, like looking at what's the gap and what can I implement now. So what about when people find that they do go back down to the lower vibe cells and they're still trying to implement it? Is it as easy as you just like look at the list and find something to implement, or might there be something more that someone could do?
Yeah, well, you can definitely look at the list and find something to implement, but also looking at what has happened that's caused you to go down there, just so you can really get it at its root. So something that would always trigger me to go back down there is my ex-husband. Like whenever he would send me a message or something, I'd be like, you know, in the low vibe state. So I like, and it was like hard to, it was hard to get out of, like in that case. It wasn't as easy as of just like choosing and then I'm going to be high vibe now. But I think I just gave myself permission when that did happen to be where I was at and to feel where I was at and to notice like what about this situation has caused me to, you know, come down here into the low vibe, into this low vibe experience, and then putting things in place for next time to protect myself to not go down there again. So these are things like boundaries with other people. Like if it's other people that are tricking you about things and causing you to go back down, like it's okay to put those boundaries in place while you're doing this work. So it might be like physical boundaries, it might be energetic boundaries, like doing some energy work to like, you know, cut some, I should do that, like cut some cords and cut some ties off with people energetically. So yeah, I think don't beat yourself up about it. If you do go down there, just know that, okay, I'm here. How long am I going to choose to play down here for? Is it going to be an hour? Is it going to be a day? Am I going to be down here all week? and just like making it a conscious decision rather than unconscious, and always just telling yourself, I can always just choose when I go back to the high vibe. And then choosing it when you're ready to choose it, when you're ready to stop, you know, throwing your toys out the cot and stop your tantrum, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna be a good girl now, and then you go back.
Yeah, I've had that so many times where I'm having like a pity party and I'm feeling sorry for myself and, you know, not doing the inner work, and then it's just like one day I'm like, I'm just sick of arguing with this all, like, let's just do the work. And then, you know, it immediately just starts feeling so much better. But it's so weird, like, how we really do need that time to honor those parts of us, I guess. Yeah, and I think that the less we judge them, and we actually, like, allow it to happen at least for a bit, and then we just pick ourselves back up, I think the easier it is to get through it.
Yeah, like even last night I went into a little bit of low vibe. So it was like crashing around in the kitchen, and my partner is like, he asked me if I'm getting hungry, and I was like, no, I'm getting annoyed. And I just pulled off back to the room and back to the kitchen and like just being annoyed by myself.
Yeah.
So he knows now, like when I'm in that state, just don't even talk to me, because I'm probably gonna just be more annoyed. Just let me be in my annoyed state, and I'll be better soon.
Yeah, my husband's the same. Like I'm usually in a pretty good mood, but if I'm not, like I'll like be very short in my sentences, or I'll snap at something, and he knows to just back away. Yeah, it's totally normal to have moods and to go up and down. So can you tell me more about stepping into like leadership role and really like stepping into leadership in the community and in your business? How would you suggest people really find that strength within them?
Yeah, I think it's about really just wanting to be the leader of your own life. And that's where it all starts. Like before you can be a leader for others, you get to be the leader of your own life first. So a lot of the work that I do with people is around that, is being the leader of their own life, and then also helping them afterwards with helping others, you know, if they want to, you know, help lead others as well. And so a lot of it is being real with yourself around what you have created up until now, and like something that I always say to people is that the life that they're living now and what's going for them, you know, what's going on for them right now is what they've chosen to happen. So let's just like be really honest with, you know, about that you're here and you're living this life that you're living, like whatever, you know, whatever that life looks like, because you've made choices and decisions along the way that's caused you to be here. So it's just like owning that you're here because of you, and it's not because of your ex or or because of whatever else is happening around you. Like, we always get to, like, things definitely happen all the time that are external, but how you react to those things or how you respond to those things is the decisions that you're, like, that you're making. Like, you know, when government stuff happens and people are up in arms about the government making choices and whatever for them, like, you have a choice to do something else. There's always another way. There's always a way that you can create the life that you want despite what's going on externally that might feel like your hands are being tied. Yeah, so really helping people to get clear on that so that they can take the ownership fully for what they're creating from here on out and finish writing their story of their life, like, in such a powerful way, because we can't make those empowered and conscious decisions for our future and what we're wanting, how we're wanting to live our life or create it for our family or, you know, help other people if we're still in, like, victim mode of, woe is me, this is what's happened to me up until now and my life is like this because of that thing. You can't move past that until you've actually owned it and been like, yeah, this is, I've created this and this is what's happened because of me and because of the decisions I made. And now the awesome thing is that I get to make the decisions and choices for what my tomorrow looks like.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It can be so easy to want to blame. Like, it feels so good to blame others, you know, but ultimately it's just not true because we always have a choice. We always, and even if we didn't know what to do back then, that teaches us what to do next time. You know, that's how I see 100% responsibility.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so do you have any final tips or strategies or secrets that you want to share with our viewers to help them on their journey?
Yeah, don't be so hard on yourself, and it's okay to fuck up. It's okay to mess up. It's okay to fall on your face. One of my favorite things to say is that if I'm not going to actually die, then I'm going to do it, whatever it is. Like, if I'm not going to physically die, then I'm happy to do whatever I need to do. I'm happy to go to the end of the earth for the vision that I want to create.
I love that. And that's such an important one because so many people, as we all know, like, do hold themselves back. But ultimately, like, that's what I feel is so important about being a visionary, where you work from the vision and then everything else comes from there. And I think it changes so much.
Yeah, yeah. And also, like, if we did die, then it's fine. I think I was saying that.
Yeah.
I was saying about it. I did a live stream about the coronavirus the other day, and I'm like, if I get the coronavirus and I die, then I guess it was meant to be my time and I was meant to get it and I was meant to die. But if I, you know, I'm not gonna stop living my life, I'm not gonna stop struggling because I'm scared of it, right? If I get it, then oh well, like, I get it, too bad. I'm, you know, I'll die. Goodbye, I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, exactly. It, we can't live in fear, and we have to understand that a lot of things like that are hype.
My toilet paper.
yeah, I know, it's hilarious. I forgot what I was going to say, but yeah, it's absolutely hilarious how that happens.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much for joining us today, Philippa.
Thank you, Kai. Thanks for having me on.
Yay. Okay, so if you're not following Philippa yet, make sure you follow her. Okay, thanks so much, Philippa.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.